A new year. And the media always like to trot out the best of award shows and retrospective looks back. Okay, we're players. We'll play too. For the next hour, from the press box to press row, we'll be looking back at some of the highlights of our short time on the air. And because he's sitting behind the good mic in a custom-fit blazer, here's your host, Donald Ware.
Tuned in to our year-end review show here on From the Press Box to Press Row. I am your host, Donald Ware. You're listening to the dopest show on radio. And, you know, when I look at the totality of 2017 as it relates to Box to Row right here on HR Voices Sirius XM Channel 141, what a splendid year it's been for Box to Row. As a matter of fact, we're going to take a look back at some of our most memorable interviews from the months of January through April to date here on the program. And, you know, we do this thing from week to week. And, you know, as you guys know, we do two shows. We do our show here each Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific time. And then on our sister station on Saturdays, 9 a.m. Eastern time, that is 6 a.m. Pacific time, on our sister station, Sirius XM Channel 142. And here we place a good emphasis on celebrity guests and interviews with celebrities. And on our sister station, on our show, we talk hardcore sports and more with sports figures. And so, of course, don't forget to tune in on tomorrow. As a matter of fact, 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central time, 6 a.m. Pacific on Sirius XM Channel 142. But, you know, I look at the totality of these interviews, and even from January through April, boy, year in and year out. And, you know, this is our 13th, 12 years on the air. So our 13th year end review show here on Box to Row. And just super excited to kind of take a look back at some of the great interviews, some of the great moments that we had in 2017 on From the Press Box to Press Row. So let's start it out this way, as a matter of fact. And we opened the year when we had a chance to catch up, as a matter of fact, with actress Tisha Campbell-Martin right here on From the Press Box to Press Row. I mean, she's been in so many things, and you're going to remember her. She played the role of Gina on the hit TV show Martin. And what a way for us to open up the year with Tisha Campbell-Martin right here on From the Press Box to Press Row.
Wow. You know what? The way you put it, it sounds like I got a lot going on.
Well, you do. You do, though.
I do. I was like, wow. Ooh, I'm busy. You just exhausted me.
Well, no, you are.
How are you, darling?
I am great, Tisha. And I don't want to date really both of us, right? But I saw I went to the movie theater. I guess I was, I don't know, 9 or 10 years old and saw Little Shop of Horrors. That was some.
Yeah,
so you.
No, I mean, yeah. It's just like, I think it was last week. It was his 30th year of a release. Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what do you remember most about that? I mean, you know, your career is.
Oh, my God, there's so much. Little Shop of Horrors?
Yeah.
I was 16, and I remember the audition process. They auditioned girls from all over the world, actually, even in London and the country. And so they gathered everybody in New York, and we were all competing against one another, and they placed us all in the room together and had us sing 3x3 and matched our voices, and then just three little girls from Newark, Brooklyn, and Queens, New York, North New Jersey, that's me, I'm from Newark, and we all got it, and they flew us to London, and we had to live there for 8 months filming. It took a year to film that movie.
Actress Tisha Campbell-Martin joining us at the top of 2017. Sort of in the same vein, because if you remember, of course, the show Husbands of Hollywood, Boris Kodjoe, actor Boris Kodjoe, also joined us in January here on the program. As a matter of fact, One of my favorite actors, and we had, of course, his wife, Nicole Ari Parker, I think sometime in October as a guest. But and then we had them both together a couple of years ago. But again, actor Boris Kodjoe also joining us in January, back in January here on the program. So let me ask you, those that may not know, you were a star tennis player at VCU. How's that tennis game these days?
You know, the tennis game is pretty solid. You know, tennis has been, you know, my life and my love since I can remember. And even though I had to stop playing professionally because of my back, the last couple of years I've been able to hit the ball quite a lot. So I'm on the court, you know, two three times a week, and working out with some of my my boys from back then, and it's a lot of fun. And and I'm also producing a documentary on Novak Djokovic, which has been a lot of fun. So we travel for a year, we follow him around, and we tell a story about the man behind the tennis in 12 episodes, which is going to be on Amazon next year.
Nice.
So I'm still involved in tennis on many different levels. You know, tennis is a great sport. I mean, you can play it all your life, and tennis has given me everything. So it will never end for me. Tennis is going to be with me for life.
Actor Boris Kodjoe, a young man that had a phenomenal 2017. Actor and singer Jacob Lattimore. As a matter of fact, we caught up with him in January, coming off the film Collateral Beauty. He was also in the film Detroit, and just a big time 2017 for actor and singer Jacob Lattimore. Let me run this down. Black Nativity, Ride Along, The Maze Runner, now Collateral Beauty, another film we'll talk about that's coming out in April of next year. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but how are you growing as some big films, man? How are you growing as an with some great casts, and as you're only 20 years old? How are you growing as an actor?
Yo, I don't even know how this is happening. You know, this is wild. This is you know, for me, I never really went into intense acting training when I was younger. You know, when I was younger, I always had plans to just be a musician and be in the music industry, but film is something that came along a tad bit later in my career, and literally, you know, out the gate, I was just jumping into these really, really great films with brilliant minds and great directors, and you know, it's just been such a learning experience working with, you know, guys like Will, and you know, I worked with director Kathryn Bigelow this year, who did The Hurt Locker and Zero Dark Thirty. I worked with William H. Macy this year. It's just been an amazing, like, time, you know, for me with my film career, just working with, you know, again, you said Black Nativity with Forest Whitaker. It's just, it's quite overwhelming, man, and I'm excited, I'm grateful, but, you know, I'm not really sure where this acting ability came. I think, you know, I've always loved watching great TV, or TV that had substance, like The Cosby Show and That's So Raven, or, you know, Home Alone was one of my favorite movies when I was younger. So I don't know if that was sort of accidentally sort of helping me for the future in a way, because, you know, I'm just working with incredible people.
Singer and actor Jacob Lattimore. One of the big films in all of 2017 was the film Split. On a $9 million budget, it made in excess of $278 million at the box office. One of the stars of the film was Jess Sula. She also joined us back in January here on Box to Row.
Excited for everyone to go out there and see it.
Yeah, I think one of the things is that this is something that could really happen.
I was just talking about that with someone. They said that's why it can be a little bit disturbing. Also, my dad is like, I don't know if I can watch it because it is something that could happen, and I don't want to see you in distress. You know, so it's true. Yeah, it's something that can totally happen. But I mean, there's a twist with it, having with the personalities.
Actress Jessica Sula. One of the bigger stars in all of country music is Lauren Elena. And Lauren Elena joined us back in January here on Box to Row.
I feel like I have a pretty good idea of who I am, and I know that that's forever evolving and changing, but I am so happy now, and I'm so healthy. I don't have any of those issues that I used to have, and when I want to lose weight, I eat cleaner, and I exercise. You know, I'm smart about it, and I don't let other people control my happiness. And one of the things that I hated most about myself then was my booty, because I have a big old booty, and it wasn't... It's not cool for a 16-year-old girl to have a booty like that and everybody talk about it. It's embarrassing. And now I'm like, fine, talk about it, whatever. I can't do anything about it. I've learned to just live with it, and now they're cool. I'm so excited that booties are cool and, like, in right now, because I can't do anything about mine. So,
right.
But, yes, I love college football. I love sports. Anything sports-related, I love it.
Who you got, Alabama or Clemson?
I'm a huge Alabama fan, so I'm going all the way with Alabama. Those are my boys.
They're your boys. In lieu of, I know that's got to make some people at Georgia. You're a huge. you're trying to get something started here, Lauren.
Well, here's the situation. Okay, my dad's whole family's from Alabama, and so Alabama fans are very, very dedicated fans. And my dad raised me to be an Alabama fan. I think if I pulled for anybody besides Alabama, he would have thrown me out in the street and told me to find my own way.
Alabama with another shot to win a national championship this year. And that was, of course, country music star Lauren Elena from back in January. Finally, in the month of January, had the chance to catch up with actress Jasmine Guy back in January here on Box to Row.
It was just a really fun time. I mean, I think what I remember the most is, I have a lot of memories, but we were so close. Like, we just had a ball. We enjoyed each other. We were with each other all the time. And, you know, the love that you see on the screen was real, because we were cracking each other up, trying different jokes. I mean, Debbie was encouraging us to do things. You know, I wrote 4 or 5 episodes of the show. I directed, Kadeem directed, Glenn. Debbie was a real proponent for taking advantage of this moment in our lives, you know, and expand and explore. So, I mean, there was a lot. She really helped us grow and grow into those characters, you know, where each character was very much real and alive, but very different from each other. I miss that. You know, you could have multiple points of views. Just because people are black doesn't mean they all think the same way. And I love that about the show, that it showed different points of views.
Actress Jasmine Guy talking about her time as Whitley on the TV program A Different World. You're tuned in to Box to Row. I'm your host, Donald Ware. It's our year-end review show. We're taking a look back at the months of January through April. Up next, we're taking a look back at the month of February.
Hello, this is Janelle Monae.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? This is Anthony Anderson.
Yeah, what's up, y'all? You know who it is, your boy, the one and only D-Block General, Jada Kiss.
What's up, y'all? This is your favorite uncle, Charlie, last name Wilson, Uncle Charlie. I'm right here. You listen to Donald Ware from the Press Box to Press Row. Keep it locked. We'll be right back.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
Hey, what's up? Happy holidays. This is Eve. And you're listening to my boy Donald Ware on From the Press Box to Press Row on Sirius XM Channel 141.
It's our year-end review show here on From the Press Box to Press Row. In the last segment, we took a look back at the month of January. Now we move on to February, and we had a legendary rapper here on the program. As a matter of fact, Kool G Rap. Kool G Rap. We hadn't heard a lot from Kool G Rap in some years, but he came on the program and talked about a number of different things, including his career.
That depends on what
what young generation it is, because, I mean, you got certain young generations, which would probably be the majority of young generations right now, that would look at me like I'm a f***ing alien. You know what I mean? Because they're on a totally different page, totally different vibe. You know what I mean? I mean, they could relate to the content of the lyrics, but track-wise, flow-wise, and I mean probably character-wise in general, they wouldn't be able to relate. You know what I mean? Because it's a whole different get down now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You got I'm from the boom bap era. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of my claims to fame is based on that form of production. You know what I'm saying? Which is alien to them. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not alien to them, but they just don't vibe with it.
Right.
They don't vibe with it. You know what I'm saying? They on that that more of a trap approach, trap style tracks, and they more accustomed to dudes that put swagger above everything else.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And I mean, what they don't understand is, you know, rappers before their generation, they all had swagger. You know what I'm saying? Everybody had a different swag with them. We just wasn't calling it swagger then. You know, you call it charisma or character or whatever. You know what I'm saying? We just ain't defined it as swag. You know what I'm saying? But if you look at artists like Run DMC, definitely had swag. You know what I'm saying? LL Cool J definitely had his own swag. Slick Rick, definitely. These are dudes that were kings of that shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then there's many more artists I could go on and on and on. You know what I'm saying? But it definitely feel good when I am able to connect with those cats from the younger generation now that get it. You know what I'm saying? Even being bombarded with one type of hip hop right now, which they are, you know what I'm saying? They still able to connect with more of the grassroots forms of it. You know what I'm saying? Where all hip forms of hip hop come from. So that always feel good. You know what I'm saying? And you know what? I get acknowledged all the time, a lot of the times by cats that is in their early 20s, late 20s. Matter of fact, I just did a feature with a kid that's 22 years old. You know what I'm saying? You don't really know nothing about the rise of Kool G Rap, but you know what I'm saying? He must have had certain people in the family, uncles, father, mother, whatever. You know what I'm saying? That been playing my shit around him probably since he was a baby. You know what I'm saying? And just grew up having being able to relate to that form of hip hop music.
Right.
So it's always good, man.
The legendary Kool G Rap, keeping it real, back here in February. Let's move now to the month of March. And the show The Breaks came on VH1, a very good show, as a matter of fact. And the executive producer of The Breaks, Seth Mann, joined us here on From the Press Box to Press Row. We found out that we had something in common.
Hey, thank you very much. Thank you for having me. Donald, I am so excited to be with you this morning.
Me too. I'm excited. I'm going to tell you, it's a number of reasons I'm excited. Because number one, I'm probably the biggest Friday Night Lights and The Wire fan ever. But the other reason is, I was reading, you grew up in Silver Spring.
I grew up in Silver Spring.
Where?
Uh-huh. Yes,
where?
Sir, right off New Hampshire Avenue. Shout out to Stonegate.
You grew up in Stonegate. Did you go to Springbrook?
I went to Springbrook High School. Yes, sir. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in off of Fairland, in Fairland off of not New Hampshire, but Randolph Road. I went to Springbrook too.
What? Okay.
Class of 1992. Michael Ealy was in your class. If you're 91, Michael Brown was in your class, right?
Mike Brown, yes, sir. Broke rocks in my window. Gave me two concussions. My brother from another mother.
That is absolutely awesome. So, man, The Breaks is really good. You know, I had a chance to see the movie last year. It was awesome. I had no idea that a series would come out, but I'm, in fact, glad that it did. It is absolutely wonderful. Can you kind of talk about the breaks and how you were able to, you know, do the movie and now make it into a series? It's an extremely good show.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for saying that. I really appreciate that. You know, I think the breaks for me is a bit of a zeitgeist. I mean, and it's funny because there are obviously shows in the space right now that deal with hip hop, but you know, this one was of particular. Like, looking back on it, it was just crazy to me how it all came together, because I was living in Los Angeles at the time that, you know, this began to happen, which was back around 2010, 2011, and I was interested in doing a show, a fiction show, but really rooted in nonfiction, you know, almost like an empire for hip-hop that dealt with, you know, how hip-hop evolved from, you know, this small subculture in the Bronx to this dominant world power that it is. You know what I mean? It's beyond just music at this point. It's culture. It's fashion. It's everything. And, you know, because I was a kid that grew up listening to hip-hop, but not necessarily someone who was inside the business, I had to do a lot of research. So I was reading all these books, and the research agent at my agency was helping me with that. And one of the books he gave me was a book called The Big Payback by Dan Charnas, which was a very thoughtful, well-researched, well-documented history, comprehensive history of the business of hip-hop for the 40 years that it existed. And unbeknownst to me, Dan Charnas in New York was in the middle of setting this book up as a scripted movie or series at VH1. And, you know, then they started looking for a writer. And so, you know, the research agent put us together because he knew how much I had responded to Dan's book and was really leaning on it for, you know, ideas for what I imagined as a television series. So, you know, we got together. Maggie Molina and I met. We were completely on the same page about what this show could and should be, and she connected me with Dan, and the rest is history.
Producer, director, and the executive producer of The Breaks, Seeth Mann. Also joining us in the month of March here on From the Press Box to Press Row, we had a chance to catch up with actor Daniel Henney, and he plays the role of Matt Simmons on the TV series Criminal Minds.
Matt Simmons is a family guy. He's a member of this incredible IRT team led by Jack, Gary Sinise, played by Gary Sinise, and it's a team that rescues Americans when they get in a little bit of trouble when they're traveling overseas, made a couple bad decisions, or fall into something kind of shady, and we go over to save the day, and this happens in real life. People travel, and they end up in situations. They lose their passport. They fall down a rabbit hole, and there is a team out there that you call that kind of comes to the rescue. Matt is a former Delta Force guy. He's done a couple tours in Afghanistan, one in Iraq. He's a family guy. It's fun for me being an Asian American actor playing this guy because he's the quintessential American, and it's very representative of who I am. Growing up in Michigan, it's a really amazing part for me. And he's just a guy's guy all around. Great dude.
Yeah. No, this Criminal Minds. All of the spin-off. I mean, it's just absolutely off the chains. Of course, you got your start with Criminal Minds and no less the Beyond Borders particular episode, which of course led to this particular series. You know, how exciting was it for you to initially be a part of Criminal Minds?
Well, it's always surreal. You know, you just walk on set and you see all these faces, you know, Joe Mantegna, you know, Thomas Gibson, Shamar Moore, all these guys were working, and, you know, Kirsten Vegnes and all these people, and it's surreal. But then Gary Sinise walks on and he's your partner, and you're thinking, okay, I better step my game up. So it's surreal, yeah. But it's fun, and you can only hope that you have a run like these guys have had, because Criminal Minds is in there. 12th season now. It's almost unheard of nowadays. So we're just hoping that we can do it justice.
Actor Daniel Henney also joining us in the month of March here on Box to Row, accomplished actor Guy Pearce. And he was playing in a film Brimstone, which was released in March. And he came on Box to Row to talk about the film and his career.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, I understand that you're an Australian rules football fan, which, you know, I like, I used to watch it. It doesn't come on TV as much as it used to, but are you a big fan of Australian rules football?
I'm an absolute mad fan of Aussie rules football, and of course of my team, the Cats, the Geelong Cats.
Okay, yeah, how are they? I don't keep up with it as much as I once did. Love the game, really, at the time I was keeping up. How are they doing?
Well, the season is just beginning at home because our season really runs from April through to the very beginning of October. So they're doing some pre-season matches at the moment. We've brought in a lot of new young players, and they look like they're pretty impressive, but you can never really tell, obviously, at this point in the season. So fingers crossed.
Okay. Now, are you a soccer fan, or do you like American football?
I'm not a soccer fan. I mean, I kind of like a lot of sports, really. And if a game is on, whether it's rugby or soccer or American football, I'm fascinated in all of it. But really, the only game that I'm obsessed with is Australian rules football.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's an awesome game. So, Brimstone, let's talk about it. Talk to us a little bit about the film, how you got involved, and then your role in Brimstone.
Well, yeah, Brimstone, it's a pretty heavy and harrowing story about a young woman who's trying to get out from the clutches of her diabolical father, who was also the preacher in the town. They're a Dutch immigrant family that have moved to America in the 1800s. And in fact, the whole town has moved because they're quite a religious village, quite a religious group of people. And at the time, you know, people of that sort of extreme religious belief were kind of not looked upon favorably by the authorities in Holland at the time. So a lot of them left and packed up and moved to, you know, a better world and came to America.
Actor Guy Pearce will continue with March after this small pause for the cause. You're listening to Boxer Rose Year in Review. It's our year-end review show here on Box to Row. Hope you have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Let's continue with the month of March. It was a good month as we take a look back at some of our great interviews from the month of March and had a chance to catch up with actor Lorenz Tate. And you're going to remember him from a whole bunch of movies, Dead Presidents, so many. I mean, he's now on the TV series Power and so many movies that Lorenz Tate TV shows, etc., that he's been on. He joined us again in March here on Box to Row.
Yeah, man, you know, I've been fortunate to continue to work and do things that I love and enjoy. And Amari Hartwick is a good friend of mine, and, you know, he and I have been working together. We worked on Bronzeville, and it was just time for me, you know, to eventually get to work with him on his show. We've been trying to do it for a couple seasons, but now, you know, I'm on season 4. I'm excited about it. As you know, stars and the people from the production at Power are very close-lipped at what's going on in storylines. fun fact, when they created this role, you know, they was like, hey, the last name is going to be Tate. I said, wait, his last name is Tate? Like mine. They're like, of course, like yours, just like yours. I said, well, sign me up. Your last name is Tate. That's all you got to do to get me in one of y'all movies. You know, if you want to write something, just great, you know, throw Tate on it, and I'm there.
That's awesome. And then lastly, I mentioned Power, and then, of course, you have a couple of other films that you're working on, including Girl Trip, which is due out in the summer.
Yeah, man, the Girl Trip is a really fun comedy with a lot of heart. It's these incredibly talented women starring Regina Hall, Queen Latifah, Tiffany Haddish, and the one and only Jada Pinkett Smith. And I'm telling you, man, all the things that go on at Essence Fest from the female's perspective, you will get a chance to see. But it's really inclusive to all the men as well. Such a funny story and a funny concept. And it's directed by Malcolm Lee, produced by Will Packer. And I was like, yo, that's all those folks I know. Put me in that movie. And they called me up and they said, man, we'd love to have you a part of this incredible ensemble of Girls Trip. And it's about Essence Fest. It's going to be a big summer blockbuster. I said, sign me up, man. You know, yeah. And listen, the last name of my character isn't Tate, but I get a chance to do some cool stuff in it, and I'm around these amazingly beautiful and talented women. Listen, it's real easy to sign me up. I'm around talented, beautiful women. Sign me up. You create a last name with Tate, sign me up. That's how I get down, man.
Yeah, Girls Trip turned out to be a really, really big hit and an outcry in terms of a snub maybe for a Golden Globe for Tiffany Haddish, who is extremely, extremely funny. Continuing in the month of March, and our last guest, as a matter of fact, in the month of March, Gaius Charles joined us here on Box to Row. You're going to remember him from a number of different movies and films, but none bigger than the role he played of Smash Williams in the hit TV series Friday Night Lights.
Oh, man. Great memories. A lot of great memories. There's, you know, just working with the cast. There's the football stuff, you know, being out there, you know, sometimes late hours of the night, just filming these football scenes. Some of the more fun football scenes we had, like the Mud Bowl. That one was crazy. I remember filming that one when they, like, just brought all that water in and made this whole, like, mud field. Just so many, man. So many. Whenever I go back and look at pictures or see folks, or we go back to Austin to do reunions and meet the fans and celebrate the show, it's just, man, just so many great warm memories in my heart.
Yeah, no question. I guess it lasted for about, and the thing about it, it, while you were on the program, you know, it was trying to, it was one of those programs that was very good, but was trying to find its right place. I know it went into DirecTV at one time and aired without commercial. But
right.
Do you, for you, did you miss it once you left? I think it aired for about three more seasons after you left.
I think it was about that. And I, you know, whenever you do a show like that, I try to explain it like, you know, there's shows and there's jobs that you do that, you know, you kind of show up, you do your work, and you go home. And then there's other ones that kind of remain with you. And it's, you know, usually in some part because of the experience of just the people that you've worked with and the work that you've created. And so, you know, that's one of those jobs that you do, and it's more than a job, really, because, you know, you've just given so much of your heart to it, and you've, you know, hopefully created work that has impacted so many folks, even like what you're talking about. And it's so interesting because I think our show sort of came up right before the whole Netflix thing. Mm-hmm. And it was like right probably a few years later that we actually got on Netflix. So you had people who watched it when it was on network. You had people who watched it when it was on DirecTV. But then you had this whole other wave, or I should say waves, of people starting to get into it, you know, after we'd already filmed, you know, the whole series. Because of Netflix. So it had this whole new life, you know, not just in the States, but, you know, in other places around the world. So it's just great to see how it's lived on and how it just continues to impact people and inspire people.
Actor Gaius Charles. We now move to the month of April, our final month. And we had fun in the month of April, a lot of fun. Beginning, as a matter of fact, with an accomplished actor, one who's been around for quite some time. You're going to remember him first from New York Undercover, and he is still very relevant as Malik Yoba joined us on Box to Row. You're involved. I mean, can you kind of talk about yourself and really being involved in a lot of social issues?
I mean, that's just my life's work, man. I mean, you know, I happen to always work, you know, I happen to work as an actor, but, you know, my heart and my history has been about, you know, just being an agent of change, you know, wherever you can, however you can. A lot of times people feel that they have to arrive at a place or become more successful, have more notoriety, have more money, whatever. No matter who you are, where you are, there's always somebody that has less than you do that can be inspired by you on some level. So for me, it's just a way of life.
And you referenced, of course, Malik, Designated Survivor. Can you talk about that and how much fun you're having with that series?
Yeah, it's a show that I think is really timely as well. It's on ABC every Wednesday night at 10. where I have portrayed the role of Jason Atwood, who's the FBI director. And if you're following the show, things take some wicked turns. But it's a great show that, you know, stars Kiefer Sutherland as the president who becomes the president when someone blows up the Capitol, kills all the government, and we have to start from scratch. Which, as you know, there's a lot of alignment with what's going on right now politically as well. But, it's a political thriller that has people on the edge of their seat every week. So I've been enjoying doing that. We're just about wrapping up first season.
Yeah.
So I'm currently doing that. Yeah.
No question about it. Let me take you back a couple of more thoughts. I want to take you back to the days of New York Undercover, which was so powerful, so groundbreaking. I mean, we're talking about that series ending, I guess, a little less than 20 years ago or so, but it began more than 20 years ago. What do you remember most about those days on New York Undercover?
I mean, it's, you know, it was so much. I mean, it was definitely and continues to be something that, I've done 14 television series. Designated Survivor would be the 14th. Like, you know, although I started as a guest star on this show, so it's a little different on this show, even though I'm there for the whole season, which is unusual to do that many episodes as a guest star. But as a series regular on a show, I've done 13. And New York Undercover, aside from Empire, which we'll see, you know, the impact that Empire has 20 years later, but New York Undercover, certainly 20 years later, more than that, 23 years ago, we started that show. That's just an enduring piece of television history that changed so much. I mean, it was a launch pad for so many people, including myself. Yeah, it's just great to be part of that. I mean, those two, that and Cool Runnings, for me, are the two things that seem to be the most enduring. And ironically, those were the first two big projects that I did from film and television perspective. But, yeah, man, there's not a day that goes by that, you know, someone doesn't make a reference or ask for the show to come back. And it's funny because Fox right now, you know, is doing Prison Break reboot. They did X-Files. They do them as these TV events, as they call them, instead of bringing the show back as a series. They'll do 8, 9 episodes, whatever. They did it with 24. But people have wanted it for New York Undercover. I don't know if it'll ever happen. I'm proud to be part of it.
Actor Malik Yoba. We had a funny man on in April. As a matter of fact, comedian Ver Das joined us here in the program. My memory serves me correctly. He was getting ready to do a feature on Netflix, and we had a chance to catch up with comedian Ver Das. Or do you look at it from this standpoint to be the first ever Indian-born stand-up comedian to premiere a special on Netflix?
You don't think about that stuff. You just hope that there's enough Indians in every country that are making enough babies that can watch my special. That's literally all that's on my mind. I think if you start thinking about the fact that Netflix is doing specials with, like, my idols, pretty much, so Kevin Hart and Louis C.K. and Chappelle and, you know, that's really daunting because all of these people, forget being Indian or not, they're just way more experienced than I am. I've only been doing this about 9 years. So that stuff I try not to think about. You know, I worry about, is this Indian? Is it funny? Will American people get this? And if not, are there enough Indians who will get this?
Comedian, very funny comedian, Ver Das, also joining us in April was New Girl actress Hannah Simone right here on Box to Row. So you're a food experimenter, it says. What kinds of food? What's the craziest thing you think in terms of food you've experimented with?
I'm not a food experimenter, you know, in the sense that I'm eating crocodile or something like that. That's like not my jam at all. But I call my dad like the real OG of fusion food. My dad is from India, and we grew up in American schools all over the world. And so everybody would come to school and they'd, you know, have eaten, you know, cheeseburgers or spaghetti bolognese. And so as a little kid, you kind of want what your friends are eating. And so my dad would come up with all of these amazing ways where he would experiment with food that would be presented in a way that looked super American, but really was Indian. So he would, like, make an Indian curry, but then he would put it on top of pasta and serve it with Parmesan cheese. And it was so delicious.
Yeah!
Or he'd make a cheeseburger, and in the patty would be, you know, garam masala and cumin and coriander and turmeric and cayenne. And so he'd have an Indian spice burger. So that way he didn't have to compromise a dinner of the flavors he wanted. And as kids, we thought we were eating what everybody else at our school was eating. So I've got a unique palate thanks to my dad.
Actress Hannah Simone will finalize April on the other side.
You know who this is. This is the one and only Devo Double G, or a.k.a. Snoop Lion.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl Eve here.
Hey, what up? It's your man Nelly.
Yo, what's good? This is your boy Big Daddy Kane, for those that can spell. That's B-I-G-D-A-W-B-Y-K-A-N-E.
Hey, what's up? It's your girl Faith Heaven, and I'm hanging out with my man Donald Ware on From the Press Box to Press Row, baby.
Santa baby, just slip a sable.
Welcome back to From the Press Box to Press Row. It's our year-end review show here on the program. And we're still in the month of April, a big month here. On From the Press Box to Press Row, we're going to get things started with one of the, I'll tell you what, preeminent duos in all of the entertainment business. And David and Tamala Mann both joined us here on Box to Row back in April.
Yeah, no question about it. For you, Tamala, you've had a great solo career. As David mentioned, you also started out with Kirk Franklin. And the family. Let me start here though. Congratulations first of all on the Grammy win, which is really big. Not only are you all and you in singing specifically gospel royalty, but music royalty as a whole. What does it mean to you to have won that Grammy just a couple of months ago? Your first.
Well, thank you. First of all, it's amazing for me. I mean, it's a wonderful feeling to be nominated, but it's even greater when you win, because all the time that you put in and the work that you've done to actually get credited for it, it's just great. I mean, really, I'm kind of lost for words on it, but it was a wonderful opportunity to come to me from Chance the Rapper to perform with him and Kirk Franklin on the Grammys, and then to win. It was like icing on the cake. It was just like over the top. It's just really been a blessed year for me, and I'm just excited and thankful for everything that the Lord has just provided for us and opening doors for us, you know, with the nominations on the Stellar Awards and the wins on the Stellars, the NAACP Awards, and then to be nominated for the Billboard Award. It's like, man, I'm like, oh, my God. I don't know. I'm just really grateful right now.
So, did you have any thoughts on what are your thoughts on Tony Romo's retirement? But then, and then him being with the Dallas Mavericks, almost getting a chance to play with the Dallas Mavericks the other night.
You know, I'm a big Tony Romo fan. I believe he's going down. He's going to retire as one of the greatest Dallas Cowboys ever. And I just think it was his time. Nothing happens by chance. And, you know, I think him having to go and retire after this, but Dak came in and just showed out. So it wasn't anything else to do. Because, I mean, when you came this year, Dak just came in and said, look, this is my team. So Tony kind of had no choice.
David and Tamala Mann joining us here on the program. Also, in April, we had a chance to catch up with CNN's Brooke Baldwin right here on the program. As a matter of fact, she was getting ready to, in the coming weeks after the interview, was going to be the commencement speaker at her alma mater, UNC. But we had a great conversation with CNN's Brooke Baldwin here on Box to Row. And Brooke, I got to ask you about your Tar Heels. They won the national championship. It was their
fifth national championship. And
you can say national champion. You can say that again, Donald. You can say that again. They're the what?
Well, they're the national champions. There, I said it.
I love it.
Your thoughts, because obviously in your bracket, I'm assuming you filled out a bracket, you had the Tar Heels as the national champs.
I am a loyal Tar Heel, Donald. Let me just tell you that I get into fights every year with some of my friends on my CNN show team, because they know I fill out a bracket, and they know every year I'm going to put USC as the winner, even though, you know, let's be honest, we don't always, not always the number one seed going into the dance. But finally, this year, my executive producer called me up and he's like, "You have my blessing." I'm like, "Thanks. Thanks for your blessing for letting my guys go all the way." So of course I put out a couple brackets.
Now, as a UNC, now wait, you put out a couple of brackets. Oh, wait, but you had UNC as the winner in both, of course.
Of course.
Okay. All right. Of course.
Very good. So now, now you're originally from Atlanta, correct?
Correct. I'm a Georgia peach, but I graduated from Carolina in 2001.
Right. So do you have, shall we say, some of the disdain for Duke and NC State that other UNC folks have?
Yes, I do. I spell Duke with two O's every single time I write it down. One of my lead writers on my show is the lovely Tina Kim, who is based in Chicago, Illinois, and we always talk trash every March. And she went to Duke. I'm buddies with Grant Hill, if you know who that is, who played for that other team. And I was texting with him before the game, you know, because he was down there covering it. And you know, trash talk is healthy, and I will never appreciate the fine University of Durham, North Carolina. Just a thing.
What about the other one in Raleigh? I mean, you gotta sort of like feel sorry for them a little bit, right? These days.
Sure. But you know, I have love for NC State. I don't feel that sort of animosity, deep-seated rivalry, but you know, when it comes to the Duke-Carolina games, and by the way, I love it. Like, I love a good, healthy college rivalry. And I don't think many people realize how close Duke and UNC are. You know, you just hop in your car and down 15501 you go. In a matter of minutes, you're there. And it's just, I love it. I love the healthy rivalry.
Brooke Baldwin of CNN joining us back in April. And finally, in the month of April, we were joined by actor and rapper Luda here on Box to Row.
Man, listen, I always have fun with my music videos. That's why everybody talks about them, jokes about them, laughs about them, and, you know, we continue to just have fun. Man, that's what being in music should always be about, and that's what Ludacris is all about, fun.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any question about it. And that's the thing I like about the name Ludacris, because the bottom line is when you think about your name Ludacris and then what the word Ludacris means, and then you think about the lyrics and so forth. I mean, that's what it's all about, right?
Hey man, listen, people just want something to talk about. At the end of the day, you got to look at all my videos and you look at the history of what's going on. This is just typical Ludacris behavior, man. But you know, at the end of the day, like I said, I just like people to have fun, and now it's become a talking point, so they don't have a choice but to look at the damn videos. It's going to brighten your day, trust me, especially because it's a weekend.
Luda joins us here on From the Press Box to Press Row. The film, The Fate of the Furious, is in theaters now. Luda, I want to get your thoughts. We're going to talk about the film. I want to get your thoughts on a couple of things. Of course, you have a relationship going back with Pepsi now some 15 years. And then we had, of course, a couple of weeks ago, the deal with Kylie Jenner and that Pepsi commercial, which was ultimately pulled. Want to kind of get your thoughts on that with Pepsi. Did it bring back any memories with Pepsi from 15 years ago?
It brought back some memories, but, you know, I'm so far past that, and I've moved on in my life, and it's not my place to judge Bill O'Reilly or Pepsi the way that they judged me during that time frame. And, you know, I just feel like I'm not going to judge them. I know that they did that to me.
Yeah, man, that was tough. And, of course, now Bill O'Reilly is out. Now, let me ask you, are you still having nightmares from the Falcons losing the Super Bowl a couple of months ago?
How dare you? Of course I'm still having nightmares. I'm still going through the mourning process. But listen, if we got to make it up, we got to make it up this year. We got to come back strong, and we have to, like, literally make up for the loss.
Yeah. Now, you know, I'm a huge Washington Wizards fan, and, of course, the Wizards are up 2-0 on Atlanta right now. I just want to kind of get your thoughts on the Hawks really throughout the course of the season, and what chance do you think they have now of possibly trying to pull this thing out against Washington?
Man, I'm always going to keep a lot of hope alive, but to be honest with you, man, I get a little disappointed in my Hawks sometimes, and I want to stay optimistic, but sometimes we'll do great during the season, we'll get to the playoffs, and we'll mess it up. So maybe because we did okay during the season, maybe we'll get in the playoffs this year and actually win, so we'll see.
Yeah, man, for you, I mean, I can, you know, your acting career, man, I can think back to your role in the film, of course, Crash. Can you kind of talk about the balance between your acting career, acting in television, and then, of course, your music career?
It's a balance. You know, it's a beautiful thing because they always say that the two biggest jobs or the dream jobs in this world are being a rock star and being a movie star. And I'm able to satisfy both of those, man. So I have no complaints, and I'm just living out my dreams, man, satisfying all my curiosity.
Ludacris joining us here back in April. That's going to wrap up our look back at the months of January through April. And what I want you to do is log on to our website at BoxToRow.com, BoxToRow.com. On next week, as a matter of fact, on our website, you're going to be able to hear the months of May through August on our website at BoxToRow.com. Don't forget to check out From the Press Box to Press Row on our sister station, Sirius XM, Channel 142. We're taking a look at the months of January through April on the sports side of things. That is tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Central Time, and 6 a.m. Pacific Time on our sister station, Sirius XM, Channel 142. Going to be down in the ATL, as a matter of fact, this weekend as the Celebration Bowl taking place between North Carolina A&T and Grambling. Going to be calling that game, as a matter of fact. And follow us on Twitter at BoxToRow, BoxToRow, or follow me personally at DWare1, at DWARE, the number one, and you can check out the game. You can watch it on national television, but you can listen to our broadcast via the internet. So, again, check me out on Twitter at DWARE1. It's been a great 2017. I want you guys to have a very Merry Christmas and a wonderful, wonderful New Year. And always remember to support those that support you. From the Press Box to Press Row on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141, is produced by DW Communications. A new and glorious morn.